The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Good Sunday morning. It is not Rick Moore. It is Sean McCord getting way too close to the microphone. There we go. It is a special Valentine's Day edition of the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. And we are bouncing back and forth between microphones and engineers because, thank goodness, my guest is someone who's spent a fair amount of time in this studio.
Yes, I fixed it.
We just went from one mic to two mics thanks to the engineering skills of none other than Leslie Scott Jones, who is returning to radio in her in one of her original nom de plume,
yes,
as the Goddess L. Let's give some people some background on that. Who was the Goddess L, and what was she famous for?
Well, I started doing Goddess L about 4 years ago. A friend of mine who had an internet radio show called me up one September day and said, "Hey, I need a talk show for my station. You want to be on the radio?"
And internet radio, for people who listen to old-fashioned radio coming out of their boxes in their living rooms, internet radio is a station that doesn't broadcast over the air but broadcasts over the internet, so you can tune in and listen to it on your,
yes,
computer and other such connected devices.
And you, not only across the U.S., but all over the world.
And that's the beauty. So, that's, yeah, the beauty of internet radio. Much like people right now can stream this show from WPVC 94.7's website.
Yes.
And if we're lucky, listen to it later as a podcast.
Right, exactly.
But we're broadcasting over the air right now. But internet radio originates on the internet, and you can tune in on your computer or other device and listen to it anywhere in the world.
Yes, as long as you have a phone that you can call in. So anyway, he called me up and said, "I need a talk show." And he's like, "You want to be on the radio?" I'm like, "Oh my God, that's awesome. Sure."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, what do you want me to talk about?" And he said, "Well, talk about whatever you want." I'm like, "Oh, you should never say that to me."
Boy.
Never, ever say that to me about anything. But
anybody who knows you,
right,
knows
anybody who knows me knows that. So I said, "You know what? Let's do a talk show about relationships, like, you know, and have it caller based so people can call in and ask questions, and, you know, we can just talk about the things that people never talk about when they're talking about relationships, you know, and make it real,
and they can do it on the internet for the entire world here."
Yes, and it was awesome. You know, I did the show for 3 years, and it was great because not only did I have people who listened from everywhere. I mean, I had people in New York, Atlanta, Florida, a couple people in Colorado that were regular listeners. The podcasts were amazing because we actually replayed all of my shows for the next morning, mm-hmm, in Australia and New Zealand, and apparently got like really great numbers from that. So it was kind of weird to think of myself, you know, being popular in New Zealand, but it was great.
Well, you know what? You know who needs relationship advice? Hobbits.
Yes, exactly. They do. Because they're doing it wrong.
Yeah, right. Clearly. Because you just don't see many hobbits around
you
anymore.
Don't. You know, they're a dying breed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they weren't bothered by your heavy American accent?
No, they weren't. But every once in a while, I would put my English accent on. So, you know, give me a little shout out to my friends across the pond.
Sure they had a good larf with that.
Oh my.
So for 3 years, you were the Goddess L, and I guess it, in many ways it led to your current gig.
Yes.
Here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. as the co-host of Homegrown.
Yes.
Had you done radio before then? I know you know we've done a lot of theater.
I've done a lot of theater. I hadn't been on the radio before that. But you know, I produced Wake Up Call when it was at that other station
that we won't mention. That you and I alternated producing on.
For right. A while, yeah. And, you know, kind of got the bug from that. So, you know, when my friend in Ohio called me and said, "Do you want to do this?" I'm like, "Oh, my God, that's awesome. Yes."
Yeah. Okay. Now, wait a minute. So it was you did this for 3 years and you stopped about a year.
Yeah, I stopped about a year ago because, well, you know, life got kind of crazy.
we don't need to get into that,
right? Oh my! No, let's not get into that. Yeah. We'll skip that part.
Yeah, yeah. No, you don't want advice.
I don't need advice, Sean. I'm the one that everyone comes to for advice.
Let me ask about that actually, because and I mean this in a loving way.
Okay.
But what in your life put you in a position where you felt like that you could give advice to people, or is it wrong to just call it advice? Is it really just more of a conversation?
I think part of it is that it's a conversation. But I have always been, within my group of friends, the person that people come to for advice, especially relationship advice. And I think most of them come to me for it because the fact that I have a very no-nonsense way of approaching it.
Right.
Like, if I think they are in the wrong, I'm going to tell them, you know, I'm not there to just be on their side and not really listen to what's going on and try and actually help the situation. I'm actually going to say, okay, you know, you're wrong. You know, you shouldn't have done that. Now, how you going to fix it? You know? And I think that's why a lot of my, especially girlfriends and actually even some of my guy friends, whenever they have a relationship problem, they call me. Like, I have a few friends in DC who to this day, every once in a while, will call me and be like, oh my God, you won't believe it just happened and I can't help me. I'm like, okay, calm down.
Well, so let me ask about that. So for the 3 years that you were doing the show, and by the way, we're going to open up the phone lines shortly. So if you have questions for the Goddess L, we'd love to do this right here live on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. So while you were the Goddess L on the internet station, what was the proportion of your calls, men to women, and women asking about men, men asking about women, men asking about men, women? You know, that's sort of breakdown.
I think a lot of men.
Mormons asking about all sorts of questions.
Yeah, yeah, right. Asking about those four wives and right. How. No, I had a lot of men call in the show, and I think they called in because they knew that from listening to the show that if they asked a question about how women are reacting to them, that I would give them a real honest answer, that I wouldn't sugarcoat it, that they wouldn't get the kind of rote answer that they have gotten before.
Think it helped that you were a voice on the radio?
I think it helped that I was a voice on the radio, but also a voice that was free of judgment. You know, I mean, with any situation, there's never really a wrong thing to do. You know, I mean, there's always certain options that you can go to. So, and none of them are really wrong. Mm. It's just one of them may yield better results than the other.
I don't know. I can think of some wrong things I've done in relationships.
Oh, really, Sean?
But we don't need to get into that.
Would you like to talk about it?
I absolutely would not.
I'm here to help.
Well, I see, and that's the funny thing. That's what intrigues me to hear that you got calls from so many men. Because I got to tell you, as a man, well, men were just sort of, I think, genetically sort of wired against A, asking for advice.
Yes, well.
B, asking for advice from women. And I know that sounds like a sexist statement, and it probably is, but we're sort of raised to be independent. And I'll tell you, Leslie, the last time I asked a female for relationship advice was probably in high school, and I think probably because I actually wanted to be in a relationship with her.
Oh, you did that old trick.
Yeah.
Aw,
didn't work very. Didn't work very well.
Yeah, that normally doesn't work very well.
But I can see the appeal of a woman that you can call into and ask questions, and you don't see his face and he doesn't have to see yours.
Right. And we don't know each other. So there's no automatic judgment going on.
And I'm sure you've been told this. You have a very sultry voice.
Oh, why, thank you.
So I can see why men would be perfectly willing to talk to you.
Oh, yes, they were. Well,
did they ever like ask you for your personal number afterwards?
Oh my, yes. There were a few.
See,
of those.
I knew it. Just like high school.
But the thing is, I'm also a woman that's not afraid to talk about things that men want to talk about.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of...
Because
I don't care.
Yeah, you don't care.
You know, it's all...
You're like Janice in accounting.
It's all about, I mean, when you're talking about a relationship, you cannot be afraid to broach a subject. I mean, it's always, 99% of the time, it was always about something in the bedroom. And, you know, the guy saying, you know, I want her to do this, and it's not like it's a deal breaker, but it's something I'm interested in, and I don't understand why she's so against it, and, you know.
Let's back up for a second. You put that very, you know, it's very genteel the way you put that, something in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we went from men calling in, people calling in, but we're talking about men right now, asking for relationship advice. Are you saying men were actually calling in and asking you about, like, sexual positions?
Oh, yeah.
Or sexual play in the bedroom?
Oh, yes.
See, I miss some of those shows. I did listen to some of your shows. I miss those ones. I might have listened to more. So where can they be found now?
All of a sudden, he's interested, and your wife may be upset with you when you get home.
Well, she may want to listen in.
She might want to listen in. Hey, and your wife is a cool woman. She might.
Oh, she's got to be to put up with me.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the questions I got, not only from men but from women too, were about how to navigate those hard conversations within a relationship.
Mm.
But, you know, so when do you, after you meet somebody, when do you have that talk about, you know, that we all have to have in this day and age about, okay, you know, how many partners have you had? When's the last time you were tested? You know, are you safe every time?
So can one like download a questionnaire from your website? Check these boxes.
You know, more
than 10.
Right. Yes.
Between 15 and 25.
Oh, and sweetie, I stopped counting in college and it was double digits. You know, I like whatever. And I think a lot of people.
You should have taken advanced math classes in college.
I did. You would have to take advanced math classes to keep up with my total. But I think that was also the appeal of it. Like I wasn't afraid to broach those subjects. So people knew that when I gave them advice or gave them a different way to approach something that was difficult in their relationship, that they knew I wasn't holding back, that they're no holds barred. You know, here's what I think. And, you know, I hope the advice helps. That, you know, that's my approach.
And for anybody who knows Leslie in real life, that still holds true for just about anything.
Yes. I don't really see any point in putting on that type of mask. And the filter between my brain and my mouth was disintegrated years ago. So if I think it, it's coming out in some form. And, you know, like it, don't like it, prepare yourself, don't prepare yourself, you know, whatever. I'm not bothered.
My guest is the Goddess L. Goddess L, who hosted a romance and advice show on internet radio for 3 years, has now graced us with her presence on the other side of the microphone here at WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. If you have questions for the Goddess L, and by the way, if you do have questions for the Goddess L and you call in, I claim a right to also chime in with some advice.
Oh my. Sean's going to give relationship advice. Here we go.
Our number is 284-9470. That is in Central Virginia, the 434 area code. Okay, so the the 3 years that you were doing your show. And remind us again, actually, people do want to find your show. What was it called?
Yeah, the podcasts are still up. It's on Blog Talk Radio. Six Eyes is the station. So you can...
iiiiii.org.
No. SIXEYES.
Oh, Six Eyes.
Yes. Six Eyes, which there's a very long explanation about why he chose that name that I'm just not willing to get into right now. But
it had something to do with the bifocals and a bad prescription.
It's this very philosophical thing about, you know, how your each person has actually six ways to view things. I don't know. Anyway.
So Six Eyes, the number six and the word eyes.
Yes. So, you can still listen to podcasts from the show. Just go to Blog Talk Radio and type in Girlfriend to Girlfriend, which was the name of my show, mm-hmm. or just go to Six Eyes Radio and you can find it there.
And guys would call in on a show called Girlfriend to Girlfriend.
Yeah, they would.
Got to get them credit.
Well, you know, I did a lot of shows that that I think spoke to guys, like, and Sean, you know me, I have in my circle of friends, I would say 80% of them are male, just because
I'm 80% male. So, yeah,
see, there you go. I don't know about that 80%. We'll talk about that later. But, I've always kind of gravitated to men more than women. So I think I have kind of a shorthand that men respond to. And so it just kind of flowed that way.
But when you started the show and you called a girlfriend a girlfriend, were you surprised by the result? Were you surprised that you were going to be getting so many calls from the dudes?
No, not really. Because that's just kind of my life.
So did you call a girlfriend a girlfriend to maybe encourage more women to call?
I wanted to hear from women. Like, I there are a lot of women that I don't understand the way they think about relationships. I did want more women to call in because, you know, I wanted to kind of explain to them that this nice, safe box mm-hmm. that society tries to put every single romantic relationship is not exactly one size fits all. It's not something that works for everyone. And when you're in a relationship with someone, you have to have some sort of give and take. You have to have some room for the other person to get what they want. And if you really care about someone, if you really love them, and your sole purpose is to make them or for them to be as happy as they can be as a human being, then you have to do that. You have to give them the room to create a relationship that works for them and works for you. It really is a partnership, and it's something that people have to talk about. You have to have those conversations about what are your expectations in a relationship? What are your deal breakers? Things that you just will not stand for, you know. And it has to be a give and take. The other person has to be allowed to say those things to you as well, without it devolving into some sort of fight, you know. And my experience, especially on the show, is that a lot of women just aren't prepared to do that. They have this picture in their head of, you know, Cinderella and her prince. And, you know, she's Cinderella and he's the prince and he's supposed to do what I tell him to do and be happy about it. You know, it's like, no, most relationships don't work that way.
My guest dispelling romantic myths is Leslie Scott-Jones, the Goddess L. If you want to dispel a few myths yourself, give us a call at 284-9470. So I got to say, Leslie, that's very solid and, to me, kind of obvious advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that is what a relationship is all about.
Right.
Is if you're in a serious relationship, then you put the needs of your partner above your own needs.
Yes.
Not all the time.
But you at least give them consideration.
Yes. And that's why it's important to find someone, you know, when you elevate when you elevate her and she elevates you, that, you know, you're both lifted up and you find yourself more or less in an equal position
right.
in the relationship. I mean, that's basic.
It's pretty basic.
So why do you think that defies so many people?
Because nobody wants to do that work. They don't realize how much work it takes.
Mm.
They don't realize how much time and effort goes into doing that with someone. I don't say for someone.
Right.
I say with
Absolutely
someone.
Absolutely with, yes.
And, you know, my last relationship, we had that. You know, we had known each other for years. We'd been friends. We'd, you know, done things together in the community, you know, community theater, whatever. But when it became intimate, we had a foundation, not only of trust, but we had already been in a place where we could say anything to each other and mm-hmm. it was accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most freeing and wonderful thing in the world, to know that there is one person that you can literally say anything to, and they'll just go, huh, all right, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, there's no judgment. You know, how could you think that? There's no blame or recrimination coming your way for something that just flew out of your mouth. I think for us, it was kind of, it just flowed. It just happened. But as the relationship progressed, you know, it became work. It was kind of like, you know, and especially when you're in a moment where everything is going wrong for you, you know, you're stressed and, you know, you're angry about something, you need to vent, and they're not in a position to listen, and they say something insensitive, and then it becomes, okay, I can immediately react and be angry and yell and hurt their feelings. You know, or I can simply take a step back and take a breath and choose to say, wait a minute, is their reaction anything different from their normal way of being? Are they being them? If they're being them, then it's not their issue. It's your issue. It's your reaction to what they said or did. So if it's your reaction and not their action that's causing the turmoil, then it's your ish. It has nothing to do with them, and you need to go off in a corner somewhere and work on yourself for a minute and figure out why you're reacting that way. And it's not, I'm not saying you don't talk to them about it. You do, but you don't do it when you're angry and upset and when it's going to devolve into two people yelling, you know, recriminations at each other. It has to be, and see, that's the thing that women don't get about men. They hate dealing with emotion.
Oh,
they can't
God,
stand
no.
it.
Oh, yeah.
They can't stand it. They don't know how to deal with it. And as soon as a woman starts yelling or screaming or crying, they shut off. They completely stop listening. They are not engaged. They don't care.
Because we say to ourselves, oh, she's just being emotional.
Right. And they sit there and wait for the crazy to be over. And they don't hear anything that you say.
I have been there. I will confirm that.
So when you have a problem that especially is emotional that you need to talk to with a male partner, you go off, you think about it, you come at it rationally, and then you wait for your moment to approach the situation and say, you know, I just want to talk to you about what happened last week. And it's not a big thing, but this is what you said, and this is how it made me feel. And let's not do that anymore. Let's try not to go there and just drop it. Drop it. You say your three sentences, you get it out and leave the room, because men need time to process things.
I'm sorry, what?
See, they need time to sit and think and go, wait, I said something last week that hurt your feelings. I don't even remember what. Okay. Whatever, I'll think about that after the game. And it may take a few weeks for him to process. But once he's processed, he may not mention it to you ever again. But if the same situation comes up...
But he's filed it away.
He's filed it away.
Right.
And when the same situation happens again, if he is someone who is worth your time and worth your energy, he will correct the behavior because he cares about you. And most women don't even know that that's how men work.
And not just that. And excuse me for saying this, but it's been my experience, not with you, honey, not with my wife. You're great.
No, Sharon's amazing.
No, I'm talking about before I met her. is that I'm not going to speak in broad sweeping terms here. I will just say that I've known many women who have a much greater capacity for holding a grudge.
Oh, yeah.
Than me.
Oh, yeah. We will hold it.
So they will remember that thing I said. And
yep.
Even if I processed it and filed it away and put a little red flag on it and say, okay, don't say that again.
Right.
I'm not going to go back and dig it up and say, hey, you know, I figured out the thing I said 6 weeks ago and you responded the way you did. Now I realize why. It's just like, okay, we're not going to do that again because I'm a guy.
Right.
Because I'm just not going to do that again. But she's waiting for it.
Oh, yeah. She's waiting for you to do something else.
Something else. Said, that's just like that time.
Yes.
Remember that time when my friend came over and you said that rude thing? Like, no.
No, dear, because that was 17,000 years ago.
Exactly.
And I've moved on.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's really hard because women are socially programmed to be that way. And it's.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Between social programming, cultural programming, and just sort of genetics mm-hmm. and the way we're wired. Because I think a lot of people think that men are trained at an early age to repress their emotions. We're like Vulcans. And I see you kind of.
Yeah.
And maybe. But I also think, I really honestly think we're just wired differently.
That
we don't just suppress our emotions, that we really do process them completely differently. And so the idea of something I say or do being and is responsible for how you feel,
yeah,
it's just kind of an alien concept to
yes,
me. Wait a minute.
Is.
What do you mean you feel this way because of something I said? No, you feel this way because you're a grown-ass adult. I'm sorry, can we say that on the air?
Yes, we can say ass.
Okay, thank goodness. Just don't say that other word.
Right. I think men are completely wired differently than women. Men are very mission-oriented. So there's a problem, they want to fix it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you tackle one problem at a time, and you don't move on to the next problem until this first problem is fixed. Women, and I have a friend who I've known for like 18 years. His name is Rob. And he explains it like this. Men have one box in their head, okay? And their one box has that one problem in it, okay? And that's all they have room for.
Right.
Women have seven boxes going at once.
Are they like those Russian dolls? Do they have boxes inside
yes,
of boxes?
Yes, they're Russian nesting dolls. So we are thinking about seven things at once. And the fallout from that is that a lot of times we don't give the attention we should to the thing that's in front of us because we're thinking about the six other things that are going on.
I've seen that happen.
Yeah. So when you put that dynamic in a relationship when something emotional has happened and the guy is sitting there going, yeah, but I'm fixing the sink. Like can we talk about this? I'm fixing the sink. I have a wrench in my hand. What are you talking to me about last night at dinner with our best friends? I don't care. I'm fixing the sink.
Literally, metaphorically, but yes.
Yes. So, and women are like, what do you mean? You can't do two things at once? And the answer is no, they really can't. They really can't. It's really hard for them.
Okay. Let's say, I'm going to push back against that a little bit. Not so much say as we can't, as we prefer not to, because we want to do a good job.
And you know
what? Because we want to focus our attention on the thing that needs to be fixed.
Because, once again, you're mission-oriented, and men are socialized that everything they do has to be correct. Everything has to be right. Every reaction to everything has to be right. Everything they do has to be right. So the fear that men have about getting something wrong is exponentially greater than the fear women have of being wrong.
So I'm gonna tweak that a little bit. I wish I could find this story again. It ran in the Washington Post around the holidays, gosh, back in the 90s. This is before you could find everything on the internet, because I've looked for it a few times.
Right.
And so if anybody else read this story and you can give me the provenance, I'd appreciate it. But a woman told a story about, it was Christmas time with her family. It was like Christmas Day. They'd already opened all the presents. You know, the family was gathered around. Dad had gone upstairs to take a shower, and the Christmas tree burst into flames.
Oh!
It was a kind of short circuit. And well, no, actually, I think a fire started, and there was nothing. And there was like women and children in the room.
Right.
And they started panicking, and somebody ran in and grabbed some water and threw it on the tree because there was an electrical fire that made it worse.
Right.
And then the tree burst into flame, and there was screaming and yelling, and someone and Dad came downstairs from the shower, dressed in a towel, ran down, grabbed the Christmas tree, dropping the towel, buck naked, drags it outside the door, throws it in the snow, comes back in the house, swearing like a sailor, grabs the towel and goes up and finishes his shower.
Yeah.
And the mix of emotion by all the people in the room was like, that was amazing. Dad knew exactly what to do. Why is he so angry? And she realized in retrospect, the reason he was so angry is because nobody else figured out what to do.
Right.
Was to drag the damn thing out into the snow.
Right.
So I think, yes, there is, if you sort of go back to the caveman days, there probably is a reason why we're wired to take care of the flaming Christmas tree,
yes,
in front of us, or, you know, the mastodon that's, you know, that comes roaring through the camp or whatever. There's a reason that we're so goal oriented. So what's up with women?
And I did an entire show about this. It's called, if you want to look it up, it's called How Disney is Ruining Our Love Lives. Because, and this guy wrote a great article
just
about
let it. Go.
Yeah, you know,
let it go.
Let me just tell you, the way our society developed. Okay, so we're out of caves, we found fire, now we're an agrarian society, we're growing food, right? And these small community of farmers realize that it serves the purposes of furthering their livelihood if they settle down with one woman and create a family, rather than what they had been doing years before and, you know, populating...
Spreading their seed
indiscriminately. Okay, so that became the foundation of what we call today a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you move forward to Elizabethan times when it was arranged marriages. So marriage became something that was very important status-wise.
It was an economic transaction.
Right. So because of those changes, men had all the decision-making. Right? They had to make all the decisions. They had all that pressure on them. And who they chose as their wife was simply for social status and good breeding. Right? So women were socialized to kind of sit back and let the guy do everything because they had no power any other way. And men were socialized that they had to make all of the decisions. All of that responsibility was on them.
And just to be clear, we're talking Western culture here.
Right. We're talking Western culture. Okay. So, so fast forward to today when, guess what? We're girls. We rule the world, right? Right? So we now have all of this power of our own.
I am so looking forward to that, by the way. I mean that sincerely.
Sean's tired of working. He's tired of making all the decisions. Sharon, get ready. But, you know, so fast forward to today, and we have women who are coming into their own and realizing their own power and really reveling in the fact that, hey, I don't have to listen to anybody else. I can make decisions about myself, my body, my job, my relationships. I can make those decisions for myself without any interference or quote unquote help from the men in my family or around me. And that collides with these men who have been socialized that, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be in charge. I'm supposed to be the man of the house. I'm wearing the pants in the family. And it's like, no, actually, you're not, sweetheart. You're not. And I mean, and it's weird because, you know, we're in the South, and in a Southern family, it gets even more twisted and bent, because in a Southern family, the man doesn't have anything to say about anything. Okay. In my family, oh no, they don't make any decisions. None. None whatsoever. You go out, you bring home your paycheck, and
we'll spend it.
And we'll spend it. And we will decide what goes on in the household. I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing about you. Like, I will tell you this story.
My guest telling the story and wearing pants is Leslie Scott Jones. If you want to call in and have a few questions for her, our number is 284-9470. That's 9470 as in 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm sorry, dear. I interrupted you.
That's okay. So I was about 15, and my father loves old cars. He loves to buy this heap of junk and make it pretty again. Okay. And
now, there's no metaphor in there, is there?
No, there's no metaphor there. So my mother, although she appreciated this lovely pastime of his, was not exactly a fan.
Of the old cars.
Of the money that was used towards the old cars.
And the time spent. The
time spent, you know. And, you know, my mom, she was like, why does everything have to be chrome? Why are we doing that? Why?
Wait a minute.
I just want to know.
Why wouldn't everything be chrome?
Right? Okay. Now, see, and my view was, Mom, you chrome everything. What are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's about, I don't know, 10:30 at night on a Saturday. And like I said, I'm 15. And my father pulls up into our driveway with a new car that he's going to refurbish.
A new old car.
A new old car that he's going to refurbish. And he's all excited. You know, he comes in the house and he's like, ooh, look what I got. It's a super sport and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to do this. It's going to be a racing car and blah, 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 blah. And my mother just kind of looked at him, turned around, and walked upstairs. And that was his cue to follow. Now,
very perceptive man, your father.
Yes, well, he'd seen that look before. And so he followed, and they closed the bedroom door. I don't know why, because they obliterated the door. Because I was downstairs, and I could hear every single word. And in the middle of the fight, I got curious. So I went upstairs, and I had to walk by their door to go to my room. And the door had been opened in the middle of the fight because my father had threatened to walk out and whatever. But, well, I walked by the door, and here's my father, who, if you've never met him, is 6'4". He's a huge guy. He's 6'4", broad shoulders, big scruffy beard. Like, people are scared when they see him, okay, even though he's a huge teddy bear.
I'm scared just by your description.
Right. He is sitting on the side of the bed, and my mother, who is 5'5", is standing over him, screaming with her finger in his face, and he is looking at his feet. Obviously, he's not listening to a word that she's saying. But,
wah, 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 wah,
right.
Wah.
But by the end of that fight, the only thing he could do was get in the car that he had just purchased and take it back to the person that he bought it from.
Right.
You know, but it's like, but see, that's what people do, right? They get angry about something that the other person has done. And instead of simply calmly and rationally saying, you got another car, where do we have the money for you to redo another car? Like, do you have a plan to fix, to do this without, that doesn't compromise what we need to do for this house and these two children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she couldn't do that in that moment. And instead of taking that breath, she decided, no, I'm just going to get it out.
But ultimately, I mean, what's the moral of that story, Leslie? Because ultimately, he took the car back.
Yeah,
she
he
got
took
her
the
way.
Car back. But here's the moral.
And then did he come back home?
He did come back home. But he came back home feeling like things that were important to him were not important to the person that he chose to spend his life with.
That, you just hit the nail on the head.
That's the moral.
That is the most important thing right there. Okay, so a few years ago, one of my few regrets in my life is that when I left college with my bachelor's degree, I did not have a chance to go back and get my master's degree in anything. And when I met my wife, she had her master's degree, and you know, it bothered me a little bit that she had more education than I did, and also on a personal level, it's like this is something I wanted to do, but I got married, I started a career, I had kids. Yeah, a few years ago, I found out about a graduate school program that was a summer program that I could go to for 6 weeks over the summer, and at the end of 3, 4, 5 years, I finally have my master's degree. So a couple of years ago, I started thinking about this, and it's not cheap. And I brought it up with my wife. She's just like, that's a lot of money, you know. And we sat down and we talked about the advantages of it and what it might mean for me personally, what it might mean for my career, et cetera. And she had to ruminate on it. But when I finally knew it was possible was when it became as important to her as it was to me.
Right.
And so now people ask me, it's like, how are you doing this? You know, how are you taking time away from work? How are you finding the money to pay for it? And, you know, what does your wife think? And that last one is easy because she saw, oh, this is important to you, so now it's important to me too. And that's
because it's something that you need to do for you.
Right.
And her being smart enough to realize, well, if he needs to do something for him, then that's important to me too.
Right. I mean, she had to process it through her own way. She had to think about how much money it was going to cost.
Right. There's always practical concerns.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, it has to be about, hey, I've chosen to spend an enormous amount of time with this other person. Why would I choose to do something or say something or make them feel less than? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It just does not make sense. And I think the problem in most relationships today is that we don't take that time. We don't think about how we react or act towards our partner is actually making them feel. And the other thing about men is that they're never going to tell you.
That's
true. They're never going to tell you that you hurt their feelings. They are never going to tell you that something you said or did that was nothing to you injured them to their core. You know, I mean, people talk about how hard it is for women to go through divorces. It is 3 times as hard for a guy to go through a divorce. Because for a guy to commit to someone in that way so completely, and then for that person to turn around and say, I don't love you anymore, it's almost unfathomable to a man that, what do you mean? I trusted you. I don't understand.
Like, of course you love me. What do you really mean? What's really going on?
What's really going on, right? And in our society, it's not even okay for a guy to say that. Like, it's not even okay for a guy to say, I don't understand. Like, why don't you love me anymore? Like, what? And it's not okay for them to even say that hurt me. You know, as men are socialized in this society, it's not okay for them to do that. So even if you do hurt your guy's feelings, he's never going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in my most recent relationship, I kind of learned his little clicks and twists.
You mean to tell me you maybe occasionally hurt his feelings?
Yeah. But and every time I did, you know, you have to be really present and you have to pay attention, especially if the person you're with is someone who really doesn't communicate verbally. You know? I mean, but you have to learn the ways that they communicate. So if I said something and, you know, he started like playing with his fingers, like wrapping them around each other. Or if I said something and immediately he looked at the floor and then got up and left the room, then I'm like, oh, something hit him that didn't hit me the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. And yes, I was doing a lot of work, you know, noticing that and going, oh, wait, what just happened? Your demeanor changed. What's going on? But what I also realized is that he was doing that same kind of work for me. And that's what made it great.
Our number is 284-9470. I think maybe I scared a few people off when I said I would chime in too. So, so I promise I'll just listen and leave it up to the expert. Speaking of being experts, Leslie, you're a parent.
Yes.
Apparently. And I found that I understood human relationships so much more once I became a parent, because you're dealing with not just infantile behavior, you're dealing with an actual infant,
yes,
which is like raw human emotion. And the most important advice that my wife and I gave each other as parents, and we'd have to remind each other of this a lot when we had little ones,
mm-hmm,
is don't get on the roller coaster with them.
Right.
When the baby starts screaming or they go off in some tangent, you are literally the adult in the room.
Right.
You go, okay, you have your little fit, and when you're all done,
then we'll talk about it.
Whether you come back to Earth, then we'll talk about it, or we'll do for you. And I have three kids. My first two kids are still girls.
Well, I hope so.
and you know, I learned, I know this is going to sound like I'm being facetious, but I learned more about dealing with women by being the father of daughters than I had in all my other relationships. I remember one time my daughter came in and I forget, she had fallen down or something, you know, something. She was crying and she came like running over to me and like sort of jumped at me and climbed into my lap. She was crying and I'm going, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, what happened? And she told me what happened. I say, well, what can I do? She just looked at me like I'm an idiot and she said, how old me?
Right. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay, I could do that.
Right.
Because, of course, my first impulse is, how do I fix this?
How do you fix it?
What can I do to make it better?
And guess what? Not everything needs to be fixed, guys. Not everything needs to be fixed. Some things just are.
And
90% of the time, all we want you to do is hug us and say, babe, you will figure it out. You are a strong, independent, amazing woman, and I know you will figure out how to make this come to fruition. Because you're awesome, and I'm here, whatever I can do. That's all we need. That is all we need.
And that is such an important lesson, and I never learn it. And I don't think, and this is another one of those things where I don't think it's just cultural upbringing. I think it's the way we're wired. Because mm-hmm, you bring me a problem, and I assume you're bringing it to me because you want me to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Hear that, guys?
And the other thing, that's why this last relationship for me was awesome, because I was with someone who realized that.
Mm.
But, and he would actually ask. Like, I would come to him, I'm venting about something, and, you know, I'm all emotional and upset and crazy. And he would simply look at me and goes, what do you need me to do? You know, it's like, oh my God, really? I have to tell you to fix me a glass of wine and sit there and shut up and listen to me? Like, that's what I need to... Okay, yes, that's what I need you to do. But it's great that he knew enough to ask that question. Like, okay, this is what I need you to do. And then he did it. And, it, you know, and everything was great.
But now, don't you sometimes get in the danger of sort of men figuring out eventually, oh, they don't really want me to do anything? And so... they don't even think of doing anything?
No, you know what it is? It became interesting because I had like a little medical situation a while ago, and and I couldn't drive, and I was at work, and I needed, you know, someone to come get me. And so I call him and I tell him what's going on, and he listened very intently, and then he said, okay, what do you want me to do?
Uh-huh.
I said, I need you to come get me because I don't trust myself to drive. Okay, be there in 20 minutes. And from even later in the day, you know, I'm like on the couch in the fetal position in a whole lot of pain. And it was so funny to me, even in that moment, I'm sitting there on the couch in pain, can't really move. And he is standing in the middle of my living room with this look on his face, like, I don't know what to, I'll just stand here and wait for instructions. Like, that was, you know, and I couldn't help it. Even in that moment, I laughed out loud at him and I was like, come sit here and hold me.
So he's like a robot awaiting programming.
Yes, yes. But at least, you know, but that's, it goes back to the fear thing, like complete and total fear of doing something wrong, of doing the wrong thing in that moment, because I'm already in pain and upset. And he didn't want to add to it, you know. And I think that's what a lot of women don't get. It's like when men freeze up like that, it's not that they don't care.
No.
It's that they don't want to make it worse.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so they're
yeah.
just like, I'll just stand over here.
Especially since we don't respond that way.
Right. You don't understand that emotion-filled freak out that's going on the other side of the room.
You know,
right.
If I was at work and like I saw someone... You know, if I saw someone like killed in front of me and I come home from work, I still want my wife to ask me, how was work today? Before I tell her, well, yeah, someone came in and got shot right in front of me, because I want to be asked.
Right.
I don't want to come in sort of, you know, I'm not going to walk in and she goes, what happened today? No. I just don't want that.
Right.
You know, I do want to be asked.
Right.
But I don't want to like come in and sort of assume that my day was worse than hers.
Right.
Or that my problems are bigger than hers. Now it's my turn to give a clue to you ladies. Ask us about our day.
If we
come in and say, you know, if your guy walks in the house and you immediately launch into everything that went wrong with your day and he sits there patiently listening, that's fine. But then take a moment when you're done, say, so how are you? What happened with you today?
You know, a friend of mine said this to me a few years ago, and I absolutely love it. I tell it to everyone. It's very simple. Men want to be loved. Women want to be wanted.
Ooh.
Yes. So a guy wants to be asked about his day. He wants to know that you care. Mm-hmm. Now, he may never give you any signal.
That's right.
That was great, that he appreciates it. He's not going to give you the signal that you did the right thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are
but
terrible at that.
But he wants you to care about him. He wants you to say, the hell with everything else. I'm doing this for you because I see that you need it. Right? Women want men to say, you know what? You are so awesome. You look so good. You smell so good. I just love you. I can't do nothing without you. Can I just be in your presence? Because that makes me happy. I just want you. You know, women want the outward affection.
Okay, I'm writing this down.
Take notes, Steve. You know, and that's also why I have a problem with Valentine's Day, because it's that one day that everyone is supposed to say, ooh, you're important to me. Well, guess what? If they're really important to you, you don't need a day on the calendar to do it.
And you know what? That's why I hate Valentine's Day.
Yes. It's so horrible. See, in my relationships, I don't do Valentine's Day. I don't do anniversaries. I don't do any of that. Because if you can't do it every single other day of the year, don't come at me with that.
I'm good at the anniversaries. In fact,
I'm horrible. I can't remember a date to save my life.
I'm actually, by the way, this is another tip for you guys. If you remember anniversaries, you are golden.
Right. I'm different. Because I don't care.
Yeah.
Mostly because I can't remember them myself. So no. Like, this is how bad I am at anniversaries. I got married on Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't forget it. It's like, okay, everybody else is celebrating it too. I can't forget that one.
And I'm also thinking of talking about women sort of getting clues from men. I'm thinking about a friend of mine who a few years ago was struggling with her longtime marriage, and they were having a lot of arguments and there were secrets going on and just things back and forth. But she was really working, you know, to try to figure out what was going on and to save it. And one day she was driving to work and she literally drove her car into a ditch. She just took a wrong turn, drove her car. She was fine. She got out. She called her husband. He was like, yeah, I can't really come help you right now. I'm busy. And she said that's when she knew.
Yeah.
If he couldn't even bother stopping what he was doing to literally come take her out of a ditch, then she knew that he had just lost interest.
Yeah. And I think women are bad at saying it's over, you know, because women are fixers, you know.
Wait a minute. I thought guys were fixers.
No. Women are emotional fixers. Okay. Guys, you like tangible stuff. Mm-hmm. Women are emotional fixers. We are the, we're the smoothers. You know, if there's a fight in the house, we want, you know, unless, you know, somebody else, if somebody else is mad, you know, no, let's everybody calm down. Everyone has to be nice to each other, blah, 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 you know. And especially as a Southern woman, I was raised, it's bad manners to get angry. It's bad manners. You just don't do it. So when we're in a relationship that has a lot of that turmoil, it's hard for us to say, you know what, maybe it's just over. Because we naturally want to say, no, we can make it work because we love each other. Yeah, and that's not necessarily what it takes.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm going to ask. I mean, you can still love each other, but if it's not working, it's not working.
You can, oh my God, you can love somebody and they can be absolutely, completely, horribly wrong for you.
Yeah.
And it's okay to admit that, you know, and it's okay to admit that and still be friendly with them. Mm. It doesn't have to be antagonistic. You can say, you know what? I absolutely adore you. You're great. You're just not great for me. You know, and if you're in a relationship with someone who is also, a mature adult, then they can say, oh, okay, well, I'm not really happy about that, but I hear you. I get it. You know, let's at least, you know, stay friendly. Let's, you know, go to lunch every once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
And it's weird in the beginning to do something like that, because we are taught that's not how relationships end, right? Relationships are supposed to end in Armageddon, right?
Every time
you launch a nuke, they launch a nuke, everything
mutually
is obliterated.
Assured destruction.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be that. And guess what? We can decide that. It doesn't have to be that. We can actually be adults and make the decision that when we break up, quote unquote, with someone, that it doesn't mean that they no longer exist in the universe. It can just mean that they, you know, don't get to see us naked anymore. That could be it.
Oh. What kind of deal is that? Look, we've only got a couple of minutes left. We could go on, and there's one whole area that I meant to bring up, and then we haven't had a chance to get into.
The book.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've written, I mean, this is not your first book, but this is your first full-length novel.
Yes, it is
novel.
My first full-length novel. It's called Bookends.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of this kind of stuff
in
it.
What's it about, Leslie, and how does one get Bookends by Leslie Scott Jones?
It is a love story, but it's a different kind of love story. It's a love story about two people who don't know if, number one, they're supposed to be in a relationship, and number two, really don't know how to do it. Like they have no clue, and completely admit that they have no clue how to do it. And it's about, you know, them kind of dealing with their own ish and then realizing that, you know what, I really do want to spend my life with someone, and what's that going to look like? And you can get it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It just dropped on Friday, and there will be an audiobook version coming out sometime in March.
Well, did you get some celebrity to do the audiobook version?
It's myself, so yes. So the book is written in two voices, so it vacillates. So one chapter is from the female voice and one chapter is from the male voice. And in the audiobook, the male voice is voiced by Chris Ballmer.
Nice choice.
It is a nice choice, and it completely fits. I mean, when you guys hear it seriously, you're going to go, oh my God, yes, that's what he would sound like.
All right. In our last few seconds, even though you don't celebrate it, what is your advice to guys on Valentine's Day?
My advice is to keep it simple. Do not go out and buy like 3 dozen long stem red roses if you're not going to keep that up at least 3 or 4 times during the year. Okay. simple. Women like simple and elegant. Give her one single red long stem rose. And if you want to get really creative, what I did, which my former, whatever you want to call him, loved, was I took little quotes from authors that we both liked, and I wrote them down on little pieces of paper and left them around the house for him to find.
Wow.
So for like 3 weeks, he would go to do something and be like, oh, and he'd pick it up and he'd read it. And it's like, oh, a nice little thing from her, you know, little things like that. That's what keeps a woman interested. Once again, you took the time to do it. It's romantic. She feels wanted. And when she feels wanted, you get loved. How about that?
So we fixed it.
We've now fixed it. We've fixed all relationships, Sean. Nobody should be doing it wrong ever again.
Leslie, thank you. This has been so much fun. I think we should make this an annual tradition.
I think so, too. I would love it.
All right, sweetie. Thank you. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for being my guest, the Goddess L, on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.